This Christmas season, we've actually been doing something a little bit different here at New Life. This Christmas season, we've been going through a series of studies through the book of Ruth. A series of studies through the book of Ruth called Seeing the Story of Christmas Through the Life of Jesus' Great, 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 dot, 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 grandmother. We don't know how many greats. I don't know how much you know about the story of Ruth or if you've even read it out of the Old Testament, but it tells the story of a family from Bethlehem, actually, who is representative of the people of God during the days of the judges. When there was no king in the land and when everyone was coming to do more and more, as it says at the very end of Judges, what was right in their own eyes. And this family that from Bethlehem made a disastrous decision. They made a disastrous decision to sojourn to the land of Moab when the famine came in Bethlehem. And once they arrived in Moab, the father died. The two sons married Moabite women, which was forbidden under Jewish law. And then they died. And the grieving wife and mother, Naomi, found herself not only a widow, but found herself old and childless in a foreign land. All she had was her two daughters-in-law, these Moabite daughters-in-law, named Orpah and Ruth. Probably in her mind, everything was a loss. In fact, she came to say, "Don't call me Naomi anymore," which means to be pleasant. "Call me Mara," which means bitter. When she decided to return to Bethlehem because the famine was over, she urged her two daughter-in-laws, "Remain in Moab so that you might have a future. Don't come with me." But Ruth stood out. Ruth refused to go back. In fact, Ruth committed herself to Naomi to say to Naomi things like this, "Where you go, I will go. And your God will be my God. Your people shall be my people. Where you're buried, I will be buried." She demonstrated something very significant. She demonstrated loyalty and covenant faithfulness that is like the covenant faithfulness of the Lord of Israel. Even though it was in Naomi's mind, she couldn't see what Ruth was doing. All she could think about was how empty-handed she was going back to Bethlehem. Well, they arrived at the beginning of barley harvest, and Ruth immediately went out to the fields. She went out to the fields trying to find a place where she could actually go and glean some of the scraps from the reapers. She just happened, by what seemed to be chance, to come upon the field of a relative of her deceased father-in-law, a man named Boaz, who showed her incredible favor. He had heard about what she had done for her mother-in-law, and how she had come to take refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. And he showed her just an incredible favor time and time again, even in one day. Well, in those days, there was a provision for people who fell on hard times. Provision for people who fell on hard times to actually be redeemed by one of their kinsmen. One way that they could be redeemed was by a redeemer, a relative, a kinsman, preserving their family line. Preserving the family line of a deceased male relative, actually marrying his widow, and then through that widow providing an heir. Another way was by redeeming the land that a poor relative was in danger of losing, or maybe they had sold off and they had already lost. And then there was a third way that they could redeem them. They could purchase their release if they had been sold into slavery. And they could set them free. Well, Boaz comes along. He shows this incredible favor to Ruth. And at considerable cost to him, he became Ruth's. And in becoming Ruth's kinsman redeemer, he became Naomi's. When he bought Naomi's land and he acquired Ruth to be his wife. Once married, the Lord gave Boaz and Ruth a son. And after that son was born, there was something very tellingly that took place. The women of Jerusalem were thrilled. They said this to Naomi: "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer." Isn't that interesting? They didn't say it to Ruth, they said it to Naomi. And this child named Obed wasn't just any child. This child ended up coming to be the grandfather of King David, whom God used to defeat their enemies and to restore his covenant people. And the genealogy at the end of the book of Ruth was meant to validate David's ascendancy to the throne and his kingship over Israel as actually coming from the Lord. That the Lord, in fact, had been faithful to his covenant promises despite Israel's unfaithfulness. Well, this evening, as we come to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we actually come to the point where all of this, where the book of Ruth, comes together. As we look back on the book of Ruth, we could say that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. We could say, obviously, surely, that Obed, the child born to Boaz and Ruth, was a kinsman redeemer. We could say that David was a kinsman redeemer. But they were not the ultimate kinsman redeemer. They were not the Christ, or sometimes Christ means the anointed one. Well, to prove that Jesus was the ultimate kinsman redeemer, did you know how Matthew began his gospel? He began it with a genealogy. And he actually calls the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why did he do that? We usually pass over genealogies, don't we? Or we just read them quickly and go on to something else, unless they might be our genealogy. Then we're kind of concerned and we may perk up our ears and hear a name we're familiar with. According to the Lord's Old Testament covenant, which he made with Abraham and then he confirmed to David, the coming king and savior would come from their family lines. He would be their close kinsman. And so as Matthew traces the genealogy of Jesus, not only does he show that Jesus is a direct descendant of Abraham and of David, we also find who? Ruth and Boaz. And what we learn from that is that the Lord didn't intend to just provide for their family line. He didn't intend to just also provide for the nation of Israel a redeemer. He intended to provide a redeemer for all the nations of the world in fulfillment of what he had said to Abraham. I don't know if you've ever heard of the covenant promise to Abraham that ends with these words: "In you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." That's quite a statement, isn't it? It's an incredible statement. As we come to this telling of the genealogy and of the birth of this child, what set this son of Abraham, this son of David, apart? Well, it says that Mary was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. If we go back to Ruth, when Boaz took Ruth to be his wife, the scriptures tell us something that's extremely significant. It's supernatural. It says, "And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son." That the Lord gave her conception. But notice what it says with Mary. We're told before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. This child is, yes, going to be special like Obed, but much more special. He was going to be unlike any other child, because this child would not come about by natural generation, but from the Holy Spirit. And therefore he would be holy and he would be sinless. She too is to give birth to a son, but they were to call this son Jesus. I don't know how many of you know what the name Jesus means. It's really the Greek equivalent in many ways to the name Joshua that we find in the Old Testament. And the name Joshua means the Lord saves. Or you could also say, if he saves, he delivers, or he does what? He redeems. Really, we take the word Jesus and it means salvation, which we could also say means redemption. Well, what was this Jesus going to save or deliver or redeem his people from? From the penalty and consequences of their sin. From mankind's primary and his greatest of needs. Your greatest need. My greatest need. From our slavery and bondage to sin, which we've actually sold ourselves into. From death itself and the loss of our name and our place in the land, very similar to Ruth. And from the curse being upon the land. There's incredible connection. When we saw the Lord's loyal love expressed through the giving of a child to Ruth and Boaz, and now we see that this is really, we might say it, the consummate love of God, expressed through giving to Mary a child, if you notice, who would be called who? It would be Emmanuel. God with us. I think it's fascinating as you study the book of Ruth, that the book of Ruth begins in sorrow, but you notice how it concludes. It concludes with incredible joy, doesn't it? If we look at our own lives will begin in a way with the sorrow of sin and the penalty of that sin. But we'll conclude with what kind of joy if our faith is in Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer. With absolute joy. Eternal joy. Joy that will never end. You know, one of the most encouraging things about the story of Ruth to me is that before coming into Naomi's family, into her household, Ruth was an unbelieving Moabite. She was a pagan idol worshiper. By that, she was a rejecter of the Lord God. She was a stranger to the covenants of Israel that are so precious. But by the end of the story, what's taken place? She's come into the promised line of the Messiah. She starts a covenant family. And from this union brings forth a covenant child who in turn influences generations to come, and even the Savior of the whole world is born through that line. Which testifies to the incredible way that God works through His covenant. Through His covenant of what? It's a covenant of grace. It's undeserved. It's freely given. It's poured out upon us lavishly. And it all comes to us through a kinsman redeemer. My question to you tonight is, have you called upon Jesus to be your kinsman redeemer? Have you done that? Have you seen your need of a kinsman redeemer? Of someone to save you from your sins? Well, if you've done that, then you can be sure that you have been set free from the penalty of your sin and all sin's consequences, and you've been brought into the same covenant of grace that Ruth and Boaz and Naomi and Obed and David enjoyed, the same covenant that Jesus fulfilled. You can be sure that the Lord God is moving you from the bitterness of sin's penalty and all of its consequences to fullness. A fullness that will be a source of eternal joy. And it's all because of this one incredible thing. It's because, as the women said to Naomi, the Lord has not left us this day without a Redeemer. That's incredible news, isn't it? We have a Redeemer. We have a Savior. And His name is Christ the Lord. Let's pray together.